how many of you, I have a question. How many of you have ever been to a water park? How many have ever been to a water park? All right, several of you have been to a water park of some sort. Now, I'm going to paint a picture here that I'm sure that if you've been to a water park, it kind of draws back some memories, perhaps, of you being at the water park. Remember those great big old buckets? I mean, they're huge. I mean, they're probably maybe even bigger than this in some cases, depending on the size of the water park. And they're way up in the air. How many of you ever seen those great big old water buckets that are way up in the air? And they have a constant feed of water to that great big bucket. And they keep filling that great big old bucket until finally that bucket tips, because it's on a pivot, and it tips down with cool, refreshing water to hit all those that are in the way of that big bucket. Now, how many of you have ever seen that or know what I'm talking about? All right, now, there's a really good analogy that we're going to talk about today. Some people, when they go to those big water parks and those great big old buckets, they're all in. Have you noticed that? They're all in. I mean, they're like, the wetter, the better. You know, I want to get right in the center of it. Give me some of that cool, refreshing water. It could be a hot, humid day, and they're all tired and worn out, and they're right there. And when the bucket tips, they get drenched. I mean, because they're right there in the center of when that bucket pours out all the water. The second type of person, they seem to be a little bit more timid or a bit apprehensive about the whole thing. So they place themselves kind of like on the edge of where the bucket dumps all the water. Now, they're not fully in. They're kind of on the edge because they want to get a little bit wet, some of that cool, refreshing water, but they don't want to get totally under the bucket. Have y'all seen people like this? Now, the third kind of person, they may be in the general area of the bucket, because normally the bucket has other activities going on as well, like a water slide. There could be a water slide going off to the right or to the left, or different things you can play with, and all some streams coming up from the ground, and they're kind of minding their own business. They're not really that interested in the bucket, but when the bucket does tip, it gets full enough to tip, they do get a little bit wet. A fourth kind of person that is affected by that bucket, they clearly do not want anything to do with the bucket, okay? They don't want anything to do with that cool, refreshing water in that huge bucket. And even if they're in the general area of the bucket, if they're keeping an eye out and they start to see that big bucket start to tip, they go running because they don't want to get hit at all by the water in that bucket. A fifth type of person that could be at a water park around that big bucket, they're against getting wet at all from that cool, refreshing water of the bucket, so they stay out of the bucket area altogether. These are the kind of people that you normally see. Sometimes they're parents. They're in the white lounge chairs. They're around the boundary of the water park, or at least that specific part of the water park. They want nothing to do with it. They don't want to get wet. They don't want to get splashed. They don't even want to get a drip on them. And then the last group of people around these great big old buckets, they're the folks who are on a mission. They're on a mission to make sure that other folks get wet from the bucket. You ever known those people? You know, it's kind of like maybe they catch an unsuspecting someone when they first arrive and they just kind of, well, stand over here, come over here. Or maybe they drag them over there so that when the bucket tips, it'll get them wet. So that's kind of their mission. Jerry, are you that kind of person? Okay, I thought so. Bobby's going, this guy right here. So six groups around this huge water bucket full of cool, refreshing water. Again, the all-in person, I want as much cool, refreshing water as possible. Second, the edge of the water people. I just want to get a little of that cool, refreshing water. The third person, I'm in the general area of the bucket people who happen to get a few drops on them. The I'm going to run whenever the bucket starts to tip type of people because I don't want to get wet. And the people that say, I don't want anything to do with it, I'm going to sit in my lounge chair. And the people that see the mission as their mission is making sure that everybody else gets wet. they drag him under the bucket. Now, what if we liken the cool, refreshing water to the huge bucket of God's blessings? What if we liken that in this analogy? Say, well, what if that huge bucket is like God's blessings, or the water in that huge bucket are like the blessings of God? You know, in a world that's hot and barren and dry many times and just downright wicked and evil, isn't it good to experience the blessings of God? I mean, have you ever thought about really what you'd do without the blessings of God? Today, the purpose of the message is to help put us in a place to receive the full blessings of God. Title of the message is simply that: putting yourself in a place to be fully blessed. Putting yourself in the place to be fully blessed. Let me take an official survey here, as I see a few about ready to nod off. Let me ask you a question. How many of you like to be blessed? Okay. Either you're asleep, you're afraid to move, or you have a cramp in your arm or can't, something. Because every one of us would say, I want to be blessed by God. But you realize the blessings of God are many times dependent on how we're serving God, and what it's based upon putting ourselves in the position where God can bless us. Now, we know that God blesses us in many ways that we don't deserve. Amen? Because of the grace and the mercy and the love of God, He blesses us. But it is true that we can put ourselves in the midst of God's blessings. We say, Lord, I want all of your blessings in my life. I want you just to shower me. We sing that song, Showers of Blessing, right? We want to be showered with the blessings of God. That's what we're going to talk about today. If you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Now, there's a lot in this chapter. We're not going to cover the whole chapter. We're not even going to read the whole chapter. We're going to read several verses from it. But if you would like to read the whole chapter, I'd highly recommend that on your own at some point. This is a Psalm of David. This is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful psalm. It's one of my favorite psalms in the whole book of Psalms. And I'm so thankful for it that God directed David to write this. Now, this psalm was written by an older, more mature David. I mean, he was a bit elderly here, probably, or at least had a few years on him. He had learned a lot. I think he'd really learned how not to get God's blessing. Remember when he sinned against the Lord and had that adulterous relationship and then had her husband killed, and then he was living a lie for a while until the prophet Nathan said, you are the man, you the one. Remember he told him a story? So he knew what it was like, because I guarantee you God wasn't fully blessing David at that point. So he knew what it was like not to have the blessings of God. But he also remembered even before that and after he repented how God still blessed him in a lot of ways. So I'd say that David, especially under the direction of the Holy Spirit, knew what he was talking about. Would you agree with that? Just give me a little nod. Don't get too excited. They may think you're charismatic. Just give a little nod. Okay, good, good. So this psalm written by an older, more mature David. He is writing to the nation of Israel, okay? He's writing to the nation of Israel under the direction of the Holy Spirit. But the principles, I believe, of this psalm apply to us today in 2026. If I didn't think the principles in the book of Psalms didn't apply, I'd say just don't read that book because it doesn't apply anymore. But it does. We can look at those principles. Now, as I looked at this psalm, I really spent a lot of time looking through this psalm and looking at the various things. I counted. Now, I can count. How many of you believe I can count? All right, well, a few of you. But I counted. First of all, five negative commands in this chapter. Five negative commands. Don't do this. I counted eight positive commands. Do this. You should be doing this. Commands. I counted 21 single or compound promises in this chapter, or God will do this. So 21. So we got five negative, eight positive commands, 21 single or compound promises. But then I found, this is what we're preaching on today, five positive commands connected with a promise. Five positive commands connected with a promise. So if you do this, I, God, will do this. Again, we need to make sure that we're putting ourselves in a place that God can bless us. See, I really believe that a lot of Christians, and we'll talk about this as we go through this, but I really think a lot of Christians, once they truly trust Jesus, and these are people that truly trust Jesus. I mean, they mean it from their heart. They're sincere. They call upon God. Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And they mean it from their heart. I confess Jesus as my Savior. And boom, shakalaka, they're saved. But then from that point, they kind of go through life and they just don't do what God wants them to do. And I think some of them sometimes just like, God, how come you're not blessing me like you're blessing some other Christians? How come? And we got to realize several things. I jotted these down in case you misunderstand something I'm going to say. We got to realize that we can put ourselves under the blessings of God, or we by choice can say, I'm going to do my own thing. And God can't bless you, cannot bless you as much as he would like to if you're choosing not to serve him. Some notes just to make sure that we're clear on. You're not saved by works, okay? You are never saved by works. You cannot be saved by works. The Bible's really clear. I have no problem combating that, if you will, or rebuttaling that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. By grace, through faith. God has shown us his grace by sending Jesus. We put our faith in that, and that's how we're born again. For by grace are you saved by faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You receive a gift, you don't work for a gift. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So you're not saved by works. So when we're talking about some things we need to do for God, you're not saved by doing this, but if you want to be blessed the way God wants you to, you need to be doing these things. The second note I want to make, you do not keep yourself saved by doing good works either. You don't keep yourself saved by doing good works. You know, wouldn't that be something? You'd lay on your bed getting ready to go to sleep at night, and you're like, I wonder if I did enough good works to be saved through the night. Because if my heart stops, I'm out of luck. Now, if you believe you're saved by works or you can be lost by the lack of works, that's bondage. You see, the Bible tells me that I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And if God seals you as a child of his, you can't unseal yourself. And it says that we're in God's hands and no one can pluck you out. No man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. Nobody. So if you're truly born again, I'm talking about putting yourself in a place where God can bless you, but that's not adding anything to your salvation. You're as saved as you ever will be when you confess Jesus as your Savior. Now, another note, there's a lot of tough things in life for everyone. Y'all agree with that? There's a lot of tough things in life. And it may be a time where we're like, I wonder if God is really, really, really blessing me the way he should. We go through those times, but we got to be conscious. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Number four note, but by doing good works and serving the Lord faithfully, we put ourselves in a better place to be fully blessed. Y'all agree with that? And by doing good works and serving the Lord as we should and putting ourselves in a place of blessing, you know, we also are putting ourselves in a place of reward because every one of us is going to stand before the Lord someday. We're either going to stand before the Lord in the judgment seat of Christ as a child of God, or we're going to stand before him as a lost person at the great white throne judgment. But as a child of God, I want to hear. I never presume to hear, but I'd like to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How about you? Today, putting yourself in a place to be fully blessed. We're going to read a few verses. Psalm 37, we're going to read verses 1 to 6. Then we're going to jump down to verse 34 to 38. I wish we had time to read it all, but If I preached to it all, we'd be here probably till this time next month. Psalm 37, verses 1 to 6. Follow along, if you will. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Now drop down, if you would, to verse 34. It says, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a great bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off." We have five things we're going to look at today. Five commands that are connected with a promise. Five ways that we could put ourselves to receive the blessings, the full blessings of God that he wants to shower us with. Point number one today, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You see, in verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, it's not talking about saving trust when you trust him as your Savior. It's talking about depending upon God and trusting God to work in your life. You know, every time we get in our car and turn the key, we trust that it's going to start, right? Now, if you drive a Ford, that may not be the case. But for most of us, I just thought I'd throw it there, make sure he is awake. But for most of us, we expect or we trust that our car will start. When we sit down in a chair, we trust that that chair will hold us. You see, we need, if we want to be in a position where God can bless us, we really need to trust him. You know, so many times we don't trust him. We don't lean upon him. We don't turn it over to him. We think in our little pea brain, I got this. Can I tell you? You don't got this. I don't got this. Only God's got this. And you say, if you want to be blessed fully, you got to trust in the Lord. Now, I remember one of the best pictures in my memory of a picture of trust is when our boys were like learning to swim, but we'd still go to maybe a pool or something, maybe at a motel, and they'd want to play in the water. And they'd be up there, and I'd be in the water, and I'd have my arms out and say, "Boys, jump in." And it didn't happen instantaneously. It did not happen immediately. They had to think about it a little bit. Okay. And then they said, okay, I trust my dad. They thought it, I hope. And that's what caused them to jump. And I only dropped them two or three times. And that explains a lot about our boys. No, I had my hands out and I caught them. And that's a picture of trust. And that's what we really need to do in our lives as Christians. We need to say, "Lord, I trust you," and just jump in. "Lord, whatever you got for me, whatever you have planned for me, I trust you. I may be going through a trial and I don't see the end of it, but I trust you." You see, if we want to be blessed fully, we got to trust the Lord. Then it goes on, not only trust in the Lord, but then it goes on in that same verse, and do good. You know, we know what to do as a child of God. Really, if you've been a Christian for very long at all, you know what you should be doing. You know the good stuff you should be doing, right? I heard it said, and I agree with it, and I say, oh me, because it steps on my toes too. We're educated well above our obedience. We know what we should be doing. But if we want to put ourselves in a place of blessing, trust the Lord. Turn it over to him. Rely upon him and do what you know to do is right. and do good. And notice what the blessing is here. These are promises connected to obedience. So the obedient part is to trust and to do good. And what's it say? So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now again, this is to the nation of Israel. So how can we apply that in principle? You know what I believe that speaks of? I believe it says if you trust in the Lord and really trust the Lord in your life and the way you do things and you do right, I believe what it says is you'll live a stable life. It talks about verse 3, dwell in the land and they'll be fed. I think God says, you know what? I'll bless you with stability. I'll bless you with provision. I mean, do you want that kind of blessing? You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. If we had the money, I'd like to have this engraved on my tombstone. We'll take up an offering. But I'd say it's probably my life verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, everything, and lean not upon to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I mean, isn't that good? I mean, if you want the blessings of God, you got to trust him. Just jump into that pool. Jump into whatever God has for you, putting yourself in a place to be fully blessed. First of all, trust in the Lord. The second way to put yourself in a position to be fully blessed is to delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Wow. You know, I think about delight. I don't use that word of delight. Who is it that has the hot fudge brownie delight? Who is that? Hot fudge brownie delight. Hot fudge brownie delight. Was that Shoney's? Is that what they called theirs? They had the hot fudge cake. I'm thinking it might have been them. But delight. Now, I kind of get that when you connect that with chocolate, right? Or with ice cream or with brownie all together. It's like, yeah, I'm delighted. And really, that's the way we should serve God. You know, I'm not standing up here saying you. I mean, I have those moments. It's kind of like, you know, it's like, I'm not delighting myself in the Lord, but we ought to be excited about Jesus, really. I mean, I'm thinking today, you know, when we come to church, we have the health to be here. We have the freedom to be here. We have the facilities to be here. We have the Word of God that can be preached. We got the Holy Spirit to guide us. We got friends gathered together that love us. I mean, we ought to be tickled pink, if you will. And really, that's the way we should serve God. It should be, you know, I'm excited to serve Jesus. I'm not the most emotional person. I'm not the most excited person. I don't run up and down the aisles and jump any pews. Do you, Gerald? Do you run up and down the aisles or jump pews? Oh, I was hoping to have a show after over in the fellowship hall to see him jump some seats, no pews. But at least on the inside, we should be delighting in the Lord. Seriously, we should be excited. I know where I'm going. I know why I'm here. So much of the world, they're running around like chickens with their head cut off and doing crazy, ridiculous, profane things. And I'm like, I don't have to do that. I know who I am in Christ. My significance is not because of my brilliance or my good looks or my money. My significance is found in Christ. And therefore, I should delight in that. I should wake up, and even if I can't muster a smile on my face, at least on my heart, I ought to say, you know, I'm excited. I know Jesus. You want to put yourself in a place to be blessed? Delight in Jesus. Delight yourself. And I kind of found that interesting. Delight thyself in the Lord. Who chooses whether you're going to be tickled about Jesus? Who chooses whether you're going to delight in the Lord? Who chooses whether you're enthusiastic about Christ and what he did for you? You do. I mean, I can get up here and jump up and down and beat the pulpit and all kind of stuff. But ultimately, the choice is yours. So delight thyself in the Lord. And what's the blessing? What's the blessing? And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Wow. Now, lest you, now this would be cool if it really meant this. Okay, I delight myself in the Lord. Lord, I'd like to have a brand spanking new GMC pickup. But that's not what it's talking about. When you delight in the Lord, what I found, when you delight in the Lord and you're excited about the Lord and you're wanting to do what He wants you to do, guess what? Your thoughts become His thoughts. And your desires become His desires. I said that backwards. His desires become your desires. And you want to do what God wants you to do. So we're not going to just want something for the flesh, like a big, nice GMC pickup. But we're going to want things that God wants. And when I'm serving Him, God will bless you and provide and work in ways. We were talking to the Zemers last night. Hopefully they don't mind me mentioning this. But they have kids. All of them are serving the Lord. And one of them is a missionary in Nigeria. And one of them, the two girls, is the ones I'm going to mention. The one is up in Quebec for a two-year internship. And they were coming down to the wire with the one in Quebec not having support. And then, boom, I was blessed by y'all telling that story. It's like someone gave this amount of money and they knew how much they needed. Someone gave it. It's like, praise the Lord. And I'll bet you their daughter that's in Quebec delights in the Lord. And she wanted to do whatever God wanted her to do. And God blessed her, and God provided. You see, if you want to be in a place where God can fully bless you, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Scott Pauley's ministry, the one who preached the revival, the Awake 25 revival, his ministry is called Enjoying the Journey. I like that. Enjoying the Journey. Putting yourself in a place to be fully blessed. First of all, you got to trust in the Lord. Put your full trust in God. Tell God, I trust you. Second, delight in the Lord. Third, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Notice in verse 5, we're just going right along in progression here. Look at verse 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. You see, if we want to put ourselves in a place where God can fully bless us, we need to commit our way to the Lord. Commit our way to the Lord. You know, God has a perfect plan for your life. He has a perfect will for your life. I've heard people even get up and kind of proclaim that, well, there's six options, and you got, whichever one's perfectly fine with God. I don't think that's biblical. I believe God has one perfect plan for your life, and it's up to us to figure out what it is. And it's not supposed to be a secret. It's not supposed to be complicated. We're supposed to commit our life to Him. In particular, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That'll pop up on the screen there in just a moment. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Notice what it says. All right, well, maybe I'll just turn there. Romans chapter 12, I may have not given her the list right. So Romans chapter, I want to make sure I quote it right. All right, there it is. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because of the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. You see, God has a perfect will for you, and your life should be committed to do whatever He wants you to do. And what's the blessing? It says, He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. So you'll shine in this dark world, and thy judgments as the noonday. You see, by committing your way, your path, your life, God will get a hold of your hand, and He'll do some amazing things through you. That's big, isn't it? You know, the thought that God could use me in any way is pretty much mind-blowing to me. The God of this universe. But we must commit our way unto Him. He'll bring it to pass. He'll guide us through all of that. He'll let our righteousness shine as light and our judgment as the noonday. What a blessing. You see, one thing that's missing in a lot of Christians today is that it's almost a dirty word, commitment. Ah, I'm saved, but I'm not going to commit. You know, we live in a society, we're afraid to commit to anything. I mean, I'm surprised that our sign-up sheets, anybody even fills anything out sometimes, because we really are such a society, we're afraid to commit to anything. Some people are afraid to commit to the Lord. You know, commit your way. Commit yourself and say, God, here I am. I will do whatever you want me to do. You see, we have a lot of Christians who have never told the Lord that. That's kind of scary to me. But someday I hope and pray that the light will come on and your light bulb will come on in your heart and life. And say, you know what? I need to commit myself to God. If you want to be fully blessed, commit your way. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I'll do whatever your perfect will might be. Putting yourself in a place to be fully blessed. Number one, trust in the Lord. Number two, delight in the Lord. Number three, commit your way to the Lord. Number four, this is found in verse 34, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 34. It says simply, wait on the Lord and keep his way. So while you're waiting on the Lord, keep his way. Keep doing what you know to do is right. And what will be the blessing? He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. You see, the blessing is, you know what? I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to lift you up if you'll just wait on me. You know, what is our natural tendency? To run ahead of God, right? I got this. But sometimes, I mean, you don't understand it. You kind of sit back and like, Lord, are you listening to me? Lord, are you still up there? I mean, we know he's there, but we have these little thoughts in our brain. You know, we're waiting on God to do something. But if you're not careful, you'll jump right ahead of God and you'll do the exact wrong thing. God is never late. God is never early, but God is always on time, right? And if you want to be in a place, did I lose y'all? Y'all still out there? You sure? Let's test your amen on the count of three. One, two, three.
Amen.
Oh, that was pretty bad. One, two, three.
Amen.
That's a little better. Okay. But if we want to be in a place where God can fully bless us, we need to wait upon the Lord. Now, waiting is not fun. I don't know of any waiting period in my life that's been fun. I remember in Chattanooga, but with the Zemers here, they can relate to this. We talked about a little bit last night. See, I graduated with my MDiv, and we thought, okay. And I talked to churches, and I candidated, and I talked to people about being youth pastor. I talked to folks about being pastor. And there was always some little quirk somewhere along the line that we didn't agree with them, or they wanted someone that says they're called into youth ministry. And I was like, I don't know. I'll do whatever God wants me to do. And so we waited like 5 years after I graduated with my MDiv. I was working as an engineer. I wasn't rebelling against God. I was working in the young couples department down there, the mega church Highland Park, as a department leader down there. And God was blessing, but we waited, and that wasn't fun. And we're like, yeah. I mean, it's like, God, hey, I got my degree now. Hey, are you? It's not fun to wait. But when God did work, he blessed in big ways. And he opened doors. And I'm thankful for that. We need to wait upon God's timing. Not always fun, but just wait, and God will bless you. It says he'll exalt you to inherit the land. I mean, there's nothing like being exalted or lifted up by the Lord, right? See, by waiting on the Lord and not running ahead or lagging behind, waiting on God's direction and way, God will exalt and bless you. I like James chapter 4, verse 10 about the exalting part. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what? And he shall lift you up. I'm thankful that when we wait upon the Lord, God will bless us in big ways. You know, I like the movie, and we watched it here fairly recently before Ryan went back, Facing the Giants. It's a Christian movie. If you've not seen it, I'd highly encourage you, especially if you like sports. And there's a part in that movie, yeah, I don't want to ruin it for you, but there's a part in the movie where the kicker is about ready to kick in the championship game. His name is David, and they're playing the team called the Giants, okay? And they're a lot outnumbered, and they're bigger. But this team, in order to win the game, they're ready to kick a field goal right at the very end. And the wind... The wind suddenly starts to blow in the right direction. And the coach is over there, kick it now, kick it now, kick it. And I'll tell you, he kicks it and he wins the game. You see, he was waiting for the right moment, and the coach said, kick it. And we need to wait on the right moment for God to tell us what to do. Really, we do. It's important. And I might say we'd win the game in that case too, right? Putting yourself in a place to be fully blessed. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And the last one, be an example for the Lord. If you look down to verse 37 of chapter 37, almost finished, it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. You say, what does that mean? Mark the perfect man. It's really talking about pay attention and follow people who are serving the Lord. You know, hopefully in your life you have some examples that you can look to and say, there's someone who is faithful to the Lord. You know, and if you see those people, not follow them in your own humanness or their own humanness, but say, now there's somebody that's doing it right. One thing I found in our churches today, we don't have a whole lot of people that's doing it right that we can point to and look to and say, hey, look at them. They're going through this and they're faithful to God. And when we get older, so many times we don't get more wise or more faithful. We sometimes just get a little bit shaky in our faith. But what ought to be happening? We ought to mark, look around and say, who's serving the Lord? I mean, there's people in this world who are risking their lives for the cause of Christ. They're being faithful. And that says, mark them or pay attention to them. Follow that example. Behold the upright, those who are serving God the way they should. And it says the blessing for the end of that man is peace. Peace. You know, God will bless them and the end of that life will be peace. Ultimate peace with God, right? So what about, do you think you and I should be that kind of example? You know, people, you do realize that people are watching you, don't you? I mean, you may think nobody's paying much attention, but they are watching you. And they're watching you. If you profess Jesus as your Savior, they're watching you to see if what you say with your mouth is the way you live your life. In other words, they're looking at you to see if your faith is really genuine. So I think by implication, when it says mark those that are serving the Lord and look up to them and see them as an example, I think by implication, we ought to be doing the same. Really, we should. You know, people will be more enthused about Christ because of our lifestyle or less enthused because of our lifestyle when we profess Jesus. You see, by setting that example, by implication, by marking and beholding, looking and following godly mature examples, we'll be a godly mature example. And basically, our end and their end will be peace. Do you want to be remembered by your family as someone who served God faithfully? You know, it's kind of interesting to me. I say this kind of tongue-in-cheek, a little bit funny, but, you know, I've done a fair amount of funerals in my life, and sometimes I begin to wonder by some of the things we say and the people get up and say, I'm like, who in the world are you talking about? Now, I don't know enough usually to say that, but I'm sure sometimes we might stretch it a little bit. They could be. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm not being mean, but the way we praise people when they die, we lift them up, right? Wouldn't it be good if the memory that people have of you is of a faithful servant of God? Is that important? Oh, that's definitely important to your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids and to all those around you. You see, I want to put myself in a place that God can fully bless me. Don't you want more blessings from God? Hello? Would y'all like to have more blessings from God? Today, putting yourself in a place to be fully blessed. Number one, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Are you trusting in the Lord and doing good? Secondly, delight in the Lord. Are you delighting in the Lord? Are you excited about serving the Lord? Third, commit your way to the Lord. Are you committing your way to the Lord? Lord, I want to do it your way. Here I am, whatever it is. Number four, wait upon the Lord. Are you waiting upon the Lord's perfect timing? And lastly, be an example for the Lord. Are you being an example in your lifestyle before the people that are watching you? You might be able to fool your preacher, but you probably won't be able to fool your spouse. You probably won't be able to fool your kids or your grandkids. Are you being an example for the Lord? You know, the interesting thing about all of this concept of God's blessings, God wants to bless you. Really, he does. He wants to bless your socks off, put another way. Remember that great big old water tank we're talking about at a water park and how it dips and how you have different kind of people? Think about this for just a moment. Almost done. About ready to finish. In your life, are you sitting in a white lounge chair not even close to God's cool and refreshing blessings? I mean, you're kind of like off to the side. Nope, don't want his blessing. Don't want much to do with him. Don't want much to do with the church. Or are you getting perhaps a few drops of God's blessing? A few drops. You're doing other things, but you're feeling some of the little blessings, drops of water, if you will, coming down on you. Are you standing on the edge of the bucket of God's full blessings? Kind of serious, kind of not, kind of on, kind of off. Are you just kind of like on the edge? Are you all in? Are you all in with God? You're right in the center of God's will, and you're saying, Lord, I want your blessings. Wow. Are you right there in the center of God's will and God's full blessing place by trusting him and delighting in him and committing your way to him and waiting upon him and being an example for him? I'd encourage you, if God has spoken to your heart, I want God to bless my life. I really want him to. I want God to bless my family. I want God to bless my church. But you know what? I determine a lot of that by what I do with God. If God has spoken to your heart today, we're going to sing a song of invitation here in just a moment. If God has spoken to your heart and you say, God, I want to be under the center of that great big old bucket of blessing. I want to be right there. And God has spoken to my heart about some area that I need to be more committed in, or I need to be serving better, or delighting myself, or more excited about it, whatever it might be. Would you come to the altar and talk to God about it? I'm telling you, God wants to bless you. Are you in a place where God can bless you?